Oh my God! Can we all just slam our shit down at the same time?
I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to do that.
Let's just real quick. Just
it's good
like fucking,
for the audio.
Yeah, that's like
slam
one of those
shit on the desk.
That's like one of those fucking things they do in the movies when they do the clicker, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Because
they
here. Need a loud enough thing, you can see it in the waveform or whatever.
Exactly. So now I can see it, and everyone who's listening can hear it too. Are you good? Can you open that beer?
I fucking opened it, and it sounded like it was about to go.
Fucking cummed in your eye, man.
Like the J-Lo episode.
He's really worried about the beers now.
I get it.
Okay.
It
makes sense. Especially if this is coming from a place that's reselling, you know, reselling multi-pack beer as
we
six
have
packs.
Secondhand beer
so,
right now.
You know, who knows what they did to those beers?
Well, I
shook them up real nice.
Probably something real good now. Now I feel really confident about this.
I mean, I don't think they like changed the beer. I just mean they probably like shook them up, made sure Dave gets one.
I feel really confident right now.
I'm feeling really condiment.
Yeah? What's your favorite condiment? Faster.
Oh, ketchup.
Ketchup? Just like across the board. Ketchup.
It's the most versatile.
All right. Album?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Ketchup?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't go wrong with good ketchup.
Wait, hold on. Are you a mayonnaise guy?
No. Mayonnaise wouldn't... I do love mayonnaise. Mayonnaise would not be
does
my...
Does that count as a condiment?
What? Okay, well, now we have to clarify what counts as a condiment here.
I'm thinking...
Wrong like show.
So yeah, I'm a big fan of like if I can get any spicy condiment, I'm good. So spicy ketchup will work, but like if I had to pick just like a go-to like condiment, I'd probably go with like a sriracha or something like that.
Hmm.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Sriracha is very versatile. Can I actually get a little less?
You can get
I thought you were going to ask for some sriracha and ketchup now.
That was a lot less.
Yeah, so this is how I'm going to do it now. I'm going to give it to you more. In waves and then I'm going to we'll just see if it works. You want more now?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll just see now if this works.
Okay.
See if
that's good.
All right, awesome. All right, and now we are over live on YouTube.
Slam some things down.
That's just real quick. Just we've done it.
Okay.
What?
Okay. Okay.
I should have brought my iPad with me. We'd all be
that's what
iPad
we've been
and iPhone
doing.
Boys.
You yeah. usually have your laptop.
Usually, just last week. That's the only time.
That's
long,
a load
time.
Of bullshit.
Hold on.
It's not every time.
No.
But
Mandela
it's,
effect.
It's not
you
every
thinking
time.
You're thinking of Jackson.
Bro, I had actually a Mandela effect happen to me.
Really?
It wasn't a Mandela effect, but it was just this thing where, so a student of mine is singing Defying Gravity from Wicked, mm-hmm. okay? It's a tough song, but it's a duet in the musical, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm searching for a chord chart so I can play it with her, right? And every chord chart has different lyrics, has wrong lyrics to the recording. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And she starts looking on her phone. She's like, yeah, these are wrong too. And I'm like, did they change the lyrics to this song? It's just that they did a solo version. So they just changed the lyrics.
Oh, it's an alternate version.
But it doesn't line up rhythmically. Mm-hmm. So it's super fucked. Not helpful at all. I'm not going to do that rant right now.
That's fun.
Yeah, not really. Morning. It's Tuesday. Welcome to Don't Be the Artist. I'm Hagen.
I'm Dave.
I'm Adam.
It's Tuesday for us.
It's Tuesday.
It's
weird.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday at 9 o'clock. We did this a little late. Oh, it's 30 minutes.
Or a little early.
What do you mean?
Whole day early.
Oh, I see. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. That's totally reasonable.
Yeah.
That's fair. I get that. You know, unrelated to all of this, before you guys got here, I picked up something that was left on our front porch. One of them was a package, but also a towel. Yesterday had a cat in heat on our front porch.
Your cat's sibling.
Probably. Yeah. Probably our cat's sibling.
Yeah. Cause your cat just came from like right outside, right?
Yeah. Well, from our side yard over there. So yeah, cat in heat on our front porch that was meowing, and my wife goes and checks it out. And then the cat comes up and continues to meow and then assumes the position that we've seen our cat when our cat was able to be in heat of this just like fucking super uncomfortable, you know, like and just doing that thing. So Kara just put a towel out there.
All right.
I mean, it was like, you know, it was kind of damp outside too. It was foggy as post storm yesterday. So
I feel like most people would have just been like, get the fuck off my step.
Yeah, I had the thought of like, do we let the no, we don't let the cat inside. Like, what do we
no,
do? Like,
no, you
like
don't want that.
This is
no.
awful.
That's how you get a second cat.
Well, yeah. Well, no, but yeah. yeah.
Yes.
It was crazy. It was crazy. These cats who are our cat siblings are just running amok in this neighborhood now.
Oh, I haven't mentioned this. we have birds on our door.
Oh, did they make door? A nest?
They
right
made
there?
A nest yeah. in the wreath.
Like yeah. the front door?
Front door.
That's kind of nice.
Happened last year. They did it on the bottom part of the wreath. A cat got the newborn birdies, the new chicks.
Not a great spot then.
No. So they built it on the top of the wreath this year.
They learned.
The birds hatched. They flew the coop. And then there's another new nest right next to the one that was there.
So, question, do you not use your front door that often then?
I mean, mostly the garage door.
Right.
Use the front door to take trash out or...
But not often enough to where it's an inconvenience to the birds. Like, they thought that was a safe spot.
I guess so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think my only question is, why do you still have a wreath up?
We have wreaths for all the seasons.
That's crazy. Right. That's wild information.
Why is that wild?
I mean, it's just
a lot of people in our neighborhood have wreaths.
That's so... I don't get that.
Your neighborhood's a little weird, though.
It is a weird neighborhood. It is a weird neighborhood.
I walk by there sometimes, and I'm like, some of these houses look like a movie set.
Yeah.
Like, they're just perfectly...
They're perfectly perfect?
Perfectly American suburb.
HOA, like, bro.
Dude, we love that.
But it's not even like a full HOA. It's not like a, you know... It's not a terrible HOA.
It's not a terrible HOA, no.
America me up. That's what I'm saying. America me up.
See? Heather's in the chat. I have a spring wreath, Hagen.
I'm not arguing that you have a spring wreath.
I know.
I'm just not familiar with multiple...
I thought they were just like fall... Like...
Do you also have a spring tree in your house that you put gifts underneath?
No.
Dave's like, we should, though.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, your nose seemed really like... Kind of want that.
Yeah. Because on that, when you put a Christmas tree up, I get used to the lighting because it's dimmer lighting.
Oh, yeah.
So I get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when it comes down, I'm like, the house feels empty.
Yeah.
I want to put our tree up early this year.
Well, see, I support
doing that.
How early?
Right after Heather's birthday.
Just wait for Thanksgiving, man.
No,
just,
you have to wait for Thanksgiving.
Wait for Thanksgiving. It's so fucking...
See,
you can also keep it up longer, though. That's another option.
Yeah, you could wait and keep it up long. See, I have a Christmas tree up in the studio on set, and I leave it up all year as a bit. And I've done this for every place I've lived.
I was just going to say, I've never noticed it either.
Look at the fucking set, man. This is all intentional. Do you see the Funko Pops there?
I know the Funko Pops.
All right, everything. Well, some of this stuff is just like old decoration I've had, but it's cute stuff. There's the Guitar Center thing. There's
so that tree has been there the entire time that we've been doing the show.
Not the entire time.
In this room.
No, but for...
Since
for,
Christmas.
Not this past Christmas, the Christmas before that.
It's been... A year and a half that tree has been in that spot.
Yeah.
Hasn't moved.
We haven't noticed.
Haven't noticed it.
I saw a green thing over there. I didn't know it was a tree.
Hey, what else am I missing?
I don't... Probably a lot.
Probably a lot, actually, yeah.
We're probably all missing a lot, though.
Dave's looking at all the posters in the room now, and he's like, I've never seen that poster.
I'll give you the fair part.
My name is on that poster.
Over here on where I have like a decoration for the set, there's a lot of nerdy shit. So I get why you'd look over there and go, don't care.
I've seen enough.
Yeah. Not interested. Moving on.
I don't need to see any more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's why you wouldn't see the Christmas tree there. But there also is a playbill from Les Mis. You know, it's just stuff. Anyway, I have a couple of things to discuss. They're small, but... The first thing that I want to discuss is that the Slipknot drum saga has come to a close. It is confirmed that Eloy Casagrande, I think this is his last name, I think?
Casablanca.
Great. Is officially the drummer for Slipknot. We discussed this on the show already. For those who have listened, you know about all of the weaves of drum drama, right? Mm-hmm. There are the articles that were written that were like, internet sleuths figure out who the next drummer for Slipknot is. Like, it doesn't take a fucking genius to solve this one.
It takes a drummer.
Yeah, that's good.
AKA, not a genius.
Yeah, not a genius. It takes a guy that hits stuff to go, the other guy's hitting stuff for that band now. Also, so it was. We discussed how we knew it was him for a number of things, but the big one was when Slipknot posted a picture of a broken Promark drumstick, which Eloy is sponsored by Promark. This was shortly after Eloy announced that he was leaving Sepultura. We've already gone through all this. But then, when they played their quote-unquote intimate show, which it was a pretty small
compared
show,
to their normal crowd.
But it's just real funny for Slipknot to say we're going to play an intimate show.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So they played the intimate show and everybody looked at the tattoos and they're like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It was Leonardo DiCaprio like, oh, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are his tattoos. We solved it. And then I guess it was today or yesterday. I think it was today. I don't remember. They posted a picture of the full band and tagged him on Instagram.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's the official. It is him.
It would have been really funny if they did that though and had somebody else in that photo.
Yeah.
Max Weinberg like, with tattoos.
They just had him like play one show to like throw everybody off.
Yeah, so
quit his job, you know.
I mean, then they would have got him anyway because he sounded fucking great.
And so that's the thing. That's the final piece of this puzzle.
That's true,
is
too.
That,
yeah, they would have been like, ah,
figure
shit.
Figure out they had somebody else. And they're like, oh, no, actually get rid of that guy.
We need this one. So that's the final piece of this puzzle is that holy fucking shit, he sounds insane.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing with such power. And for all the big nerds out there, he's not playing with a metronome either. He is metronomeless and sounds like an absolute machine.
Now, we talked about that briefly today.
Yeah.
Do you think that's just for this show, or do you think that's just what he's going to do?
I'm pretty sure they don't use clicks. I'm pretty sure Slipknot just doesn't use clicks. So it's not like that.
Would
out
be
of
surprised
the,
if they did.
It's not like it's Ian is spoiling the next thing I was going to talk about.
yeah. Ian, if we don't get there and go on to something else, then fill in the blanks.
No, it's okay. You're just excited. I'm excited too, man.
He does it all the time.
Yeah, it's
in the chat.
He's excited. He's excited. But now I'm derailed, which means he belongs here. That's good. So I'm pretty sure Slipknot just doesn't, has never used metronomes. But like that doesn't necessarily mean that it shouldn't discount how good he sounds because he's not, because he sounds so fucking tight, so powerful, and to play all that stuff with such power and precision like he is doing currently without a click. Especially from the world of metal, it is incredibly impressive and should not be, you know, shrugged off or anything like that. So,
yeah.
It's but it's done. It's over. We know who the drummer for Slipknot is. We can. That's enough. But they did announce, as Ian said in the chat, the 25th anniversary tour of their first album. The reason that I am bringing this up is because now this must happen semi-regularly because a lot of music gets released and it makes sense this would happen, but there are a fuck ton of anniversary tours that are happening this year. So just to name the ones that I could find / knew about, we have Slipknot's 25th anniversary, Say Anything's on their 20th anniversary. I don't have all the albums written down, but you guys have figured it out. Green Day's on the 30th anniversary of Dookie,
I think Dookie.
Weezer's 30th of the Blue album, I think. And then Animals Leaders announced today a 10th anniversary tour for the Joy of Motion. Sunny Day Real Estate also on a 30th anniversary tour. Built to Spill also on a 30th anniversary tour. And Death Cab's on a 20th anniversary tour. And I'm sure I'm missing some, but it is I'm sure this happens. Like I said, I'm sure this is like this, but it feels like a lot of anniversary runs right now.
Yeah, it's a big year for bands that like alternative rock bands.
Yeah.
Doing all that sort of thing.
Well, and like, so I guess my kind of thing is to mention that this is a lot of these anniversary tours, but how do we feel like this is like a positive thing for these bands to go back and play all these songs, or would we rather them go and like write new material?
Good question.
I think personally it depends on the band.
Yeah.
I think bands that I maybe want to see more from, it's kind of sad to see them just kind of doing, you know, an anniversary tour, because they're going to do more of these now for every album that they did.
Right.
That was, you know, a popular album, right? So that's kind of disappointing because that means they're not going to do anything new, probably. But also, if you like the music and you never got to see them live, or you weren't a fan then that's cool. You can go see them still.
Yeah.
Especially
doing the albums you like.
Yeah. So. A lot of bands that have been around for that long probably don't play as many songs from maybe your favorite record.
That's very true.
That they normally would, where now this is a chance that you can, like Adam said, go out and see your favorite song, even though it's a deep cut.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is you know, a lot of these 20 or 25th or 30th anniversary, it'd be interesting to clock what bands, who these bands were influenced by.
Mm-hmm.
For example, how many of them were Nirvana?
Sure.
Because if it was Nirvana and then they're like, oh, I can start a band too because it's, you know, Nirvana is accessible to beginner musicians, then add on about 5 years, these people are probably fully fledged bands now. released their first or second record, and it's been 20 years since then, or 25 or 30 years since then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely that's a very good point. I don't know it would be weird that
there's such a like obvious like era.
It's an obvious era, and then it's also like I think it would be interesting to see the influences, and also interesting to see not only the influences but what bands were they playing with at the time and what's still. It would be cool. I like these anniversary tours personally. I think that like they're a ton of fun, but if they are overdone, if they are like, hey, we're gonna do a bunch of fucking anniversary tours, it's like, okay, well.
Like Modest Mouse?
Sure, yeah. Are they doing that right now this year?
They're doing another anniversary tour after doing one 2 years ago.
Add it to the fucking list.
Every album, they're just going to do an anniversary tour. And I can't blame them necessarily because their newer stuff is not as good.
Well, I think...
Personally, but...
Sure.
I think there's going to be a couple more years of this at least, because if Weezer's doing the Blue album now, next year, or whenever, however many years Pinkerton came out.
Yeah.
Then it'll be the Pinkerton tour.
So,
like you mentioned, Green Day, like they're gonna do all of their albums, I assume.
They're celebrating two anniversaries right now. It's like the, I think American Idiot's anniversary, and which is like 15 years or something like that.
Yeah, and then let's do another one in 5 years,
and then 25 years of Dookie. I think
they're 30 years of Dookie.
30 years of Dookie. Yeah, it's something like I think both albums come out are having a significant anniversary this year.
Yeah, I think if it's not overdone, I like this because like the Slipknot thing was like, oh, I would love to see Slipknot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would imagine they haven't done something like that.
Yeah. I mean, this is their first album, so right. And it's a 25th anniversary. I don't think they did the 20th. I don't think they did the 15th anniversary.
Right, that's what I
could
mean.
Be wrong, like, but yeah.
Maybe they did, but like the timing of stuff too with COVID, a lot of these bands didn't get to do a 20th anniversary tour of something.
Yeah.
Even if they wanted to, maybe you don't do 15. 15 is kind of a weird one to do.
That's a weird
as
one.
A band, but 20 is significant.
Yeah. Even
so
25.
Maybe you do 25 then instead if you didn't do 20.
But that's to mention COVID, maybe bands are having trouble getting butts in seats now.
True. Yeah.
Because we're getting to the point where people are getting used to live music being around. That initial boom of, oh, we can go to shows safely now isn't there anymore. Everything's settled in. And so it's like, oh, well, then I'm more likely to go see Weezer.
Yeah.
If it's my favorite album's tour, rather than if it's just a Weezer show.
Yeah.
I do think the Animals Leaders thing is a weird one. 10th anniversary of the Joy Emotion is like,
right.
It's like, okay, cool. You could just tour.
Is Garthka on that record?
I think that's the first one he's on, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Maybe the second one he was on with the first drummer, but yeah. Joy Emotion, I think, was the first one that he was like a big part of.
Yeah.
Cynically, it kind of feels like all the movies being re-released in theaters as well.
Which sure.
Some of that is like, we don't have any movies. But The Phantom Menace came out, 30 years ago.
This is 25.
25 years ago?
Such a weird thing that's happening.
Which is like, Disney's going to release a Star Wars re-release basically every year for the
and
rest
I'm
of our
gonna
lives.
And I'm going to go to it.
And that's fine for the people who want to go to that. And... I will also go to that.
And I'm going.
But they're going to do that with everything. Like
They
see that works, and that's kind of frustrating because it's like you're taking away like release venues, or in this case, capacity for like venues for people to go tour.
Sure, yeah.
If you're booking a venue, a large venue, who are you going to go with? The anniversary tour of American Idiot or a up-and-coming band that like hasn't proven that they're going
to
make it?
Yeah. Well, what you said is a great, great thing to like with the movies is really good here because Ian mentioned in the chat he's going to see Under Oath, the Chasing Safety anniversary show, but they're also doing a fan-voted set, which is also what Disney is doing where they're showing like basically like they're trying to bring everybody into it, right? Yeah. Where with The Phantom Menace, they're showing like a special preview for the new TV show, Acolyte, which is coming out in June. So they're basically giving each fan this whole thing where Under Oath is like, hey, we're going to play this album. Are they doing two sets, Ian? It sounds like they would be doing maybe two sets on this.
It does.
I think that's a better way to handle it than we're going to play that one album that everybody knows, which is like, that's cool to see, but you guys have more than that. Like,
yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting thing too with like, Coheed does those never enders. They play the album back to like front to back, and they'll always come out and do an encore of Welcome Home.
Right.
Right. Cause everyone wants to hear that song no matter what. So.
And Incubus is re-releasing their probably most famous record, Morning View. Cause it's a number year anniversary. Maybe Maybe 25 years.
But they're not touring it?
No, they're touring it.
Okay,
they're
fucking add and give us a fucking list. That's
crazy. Releasing stuff again is like, that's already been a thing. That's
they re-recorded it.
For every, oh, that's
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
with really like cool. with like the way that they play the songs
that's
now.
That's cool.
That's okay. awesome. Yeah. So
that's a better way to do it than just like, here is another remaster of the same songs that probably don't sound that different because things haven't changed that much.
And they re-recorded it with their new bass player.
I mean, that's cool for them too.
I think my final kind of question to this is kind of a jokey one, but also maybe funny is, or jokey and also like serious is maybe we're just getting old and that's why we're getting so many anniversary tours.
Oh no, that's the real answer is that.
You know what I mean?
It's been happening the entire time.
Yeah. Maybe we're just getting old, but it does feel like a massive influx. Maybe it's just because we're starting to realize them.
There was a shift in music.
Yeah.
20, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was another one about 10 years ago, right? It's basically a decade trend.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and also the influence of the ripple effect from the When We Were Young festival, the
nostalgia.
All these nostalgic festivals.
In general and in commerce. Like movies are like that too.
Yeah. That's very, very true. Well, that's all I had to mention on that. I just thought it was incredibly fascinating.
It's strange.
We'll add Incubus to the list and Under Oath to the list, and you know, it's a lot of anniversary tours this year. So, and I'm gonna go to two of them. I will buy into this thing. We're here to discuss music education, which is a broad topic, and I think this will be something that we continue to talk about, as I think it's something that also, on Patreon, I think it would be useful for us to have, quote-unquote, educational things on, available for people, as that is something that me and Dave do. Mm-hmm. But I find that a very interesting thing is we have talked about kind of where we've all kind of come from in aspects of music. We're doing the formative songs thing to also talk about our backing in music education. Not necessarily how, you know, we'll get to college, but kind of just like actually how we like started into, I think that's a good place to start at least, is how we got into learning music. Was it just through school, all that kind of stuff? But I kind of want to start us off with just that question exactly, which is like, what started your journey into like, I'm going to learn to play an instrument and be into like, I'm going to be educated about music. What was that? And I'll start us off by saying that I have been singing my entire life. I have been forced to be in choir. Sorry, Mom. This is the truth. I was six, and I was forced to be in piano lessons, and I hated it.
That's the only way you get most six-year-olds to do anything.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The lessons.
You're going to play baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
That was me.
You played baseball?
Oh, I played t-ball.
I played t-ball, yeah.
I did Little League baseball for like 2 years or something.
Yeah.
Dude, I hated it.
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't for me.
I was just standing out in the outfield, not doing anything, and then the ball would come by and be like, I don't know, I fucking missed it. Like,
you're like staring at your iPhone you had in the future, like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was more just like sitting around like being like, oh, that's playing. I guess we're playing the game again.
I would love to see little kid Adam do the shrug.
Yeah.
Do
the ball flying over. He's just like, ah.
Pretty much what it was, yeah.
I wasn't that bad. I actually did. The only time I ever remember getting up to bat was in like a championship game that my team was in, and I hit an inside the park grand slam.
Wow.
Because the coach was yelling, swing, just swing. And the guy who was throwing the ball was like this cool baseball guy that could like throw a fastball. And he threw it and I closed my eyes and just hit the bat.
You closed your eyes?
I'm certain I closed my eyes.
That was like the force
and
right there.
And it just went straight down the first baseline. And it went really fast because I guess I did that. And then it went from swing to run and the entire like four.
Did you take the bat with you?
No.
Okay, good.
That's good.
I think the score in that game was 21-2.
Jesus.
Our team beat the other team by like 19 points.
So it didn't really matter what you went out on top.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm retiring from baseball.
Winning game, I'm done.
Yeah.
So I was forced to be in piano lessons at six.
Mm-hmm.
Hated it. It was like group lessons. It was terrible. And then I quit. And that was like my beginning to being like someone who was learning about music was like in that situation. Did you guys have similar situations? I feel like you wanted to do it, right?
I wanted to, but there was no one around. Yeah. But like my brother is obviously one of the reasons why I started playing an instrument. He's actually the reason I started playing bass, because he was like, you can't play guitar because I do. But but I didn't take any formal lessons until I got to college.
Wow.
Oh, okay. I did not expect that.
Not one. Yeah. No, because, well, I had, I learned how to read music in concert band, but I was playing electric bass in concert band.
Oh, okay.
Because we didn't have enough trombones.
Okay. Okay.
And I was like, I'll play bass. And they're like, okay.
Okay.
Because it's a small town, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So did you teach yourself how to read music then in that situation?
No, we had to do scale tests.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And I reluctantly learned how to read music. Very reluctantly. Would frequently get in trouble for trying to hear my way through these orchestra, like high school orchestra pieces. And my teacher would yell at me, like, make sure you're reading the notes. I'm like, oh, okay. But the only thing close to a lesson I got was asking my brother Ian, like, hey, can you show me how to play this? And he would play it and go, no, do it. And I would I'd can you show me again? He's like, no, do it. And then I would try to do it, and he'd go, no, it's not seven, it's six. I'm like, okay. I probably hit seven. He's like, it's not seven, it's six. I'm like, you show me again? He's like, oh. And, you know, eventually I would learn a riff.
I feel like that's how a lot of guitar and bass players started it together. Yeah. It was like the figuring it out together. Maybe one person knows and is like, well, come on, what's going on here?
It's frustrated you don't immediately get it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The cool thing is that I wouldn't even be doing... I wouldn't be learning things that he would tell me to learn. I would just come in and go, hey, can you figure out this riff? And he would just listen to it and figure it out. So I don't know how he did that.
Wow.
But he would figure it out and then show me the riff. And I'd be like, oh, cool.
That's impressive. Yeah. Especially at that age with nothing, you know. That's always...
There was no Google back then. The only tabs were in guitar magazines.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
As far as I remember.
So, yeah, I mean, and definitely no Google, but also, like, anyone with no prior, you know, training and just has the ear to listen to a song and go, oh, I got this, is like that, especially at a young age, like, that's incredibly impressive. Yeah. So, Adam, we know that you were in high school band, but how did you...
middle school, too.
You quit baseball.
Yeah, quit baseball, retired.
Didn't even inside the park grand slam, though.
You know, the... Elementary school, typical, like, you played recorder for a week or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
Kill everybody in the school with how terrible it is.
Yeah, dude.
But middle school, it was like, oh, you should decide to do something. My uncle had a saxophone, which is a saxophone I still have,
right?
Actually. And that was kind of like, well, I guess I'll try to do that one, because my parents are like, we don't really want to buy you an instrument. And the schools didn't have them. Of course we don't, because it's America.
Right.
And I go... see if it's a good fit or whatever from the band director. And she's like, yeah, he'll be fine on saxophone. He could probably play trumpet or trombone too, whatever. Which wound up being a thing, because I did 3 years of middle school band. Wasn't very good. Was in the worst band all the time. which I was fine with.
Yeah.
It was less stressful.
It's more shrugging.
And I was better than some of the other people too. So it's like I was in the higher end of the bottom band. That was okay. Gotcha. I was comfortable being there.
Okay.
It was a thing to do and not like... be too into it. I was never going to like try to make state or whatever UIL stuff.
Right. Yeah.
I wasn't going to take it that seriously. Much to my band directors, you know, was upset by that I didn't like practice and stuff enough. But
your band director's like, Adam, did you practice? You're like, huh.
No, I would be
just,
like,
just shrugging my way through life.
I absolutely said at one point in middle school, what do you think?
like facetiously?
Yeah. She was a former high school band director who's like retirement in middle school kind of
thing.
And she was very much over any kid being a shithead, including me. And she was just like, yeah, I know you didn't. It sounds like it. That made an impression on me to actually like rehearse more and practice more, which was good. Probably not enough still, but... then high school had Texas, so marching band. I really liked marching band more than concert band. So I took it more seriously, made it up to the second best band, moved up one level.
Do you remember practicing?
Yeah, enough at home mostly. And then I had like in middle school, I had private lessons like a lot of people do to teach you how to learn stuff that they can't just teach 50 kids.
Right.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that enough, and then I liked marching band enough that I actually stuck out with it despite our band director leaving at the end of my freshman year and me wanting to be like, yeah, I don't know, fuck this, I'm done.
Right.
Because the new guy came in and was not good. I'm trying to not mention names because they they all still work in DFW.
See, I can do that because all my teachers are either retired or live in Canada.
Wouldn't it be?
They can't hear this up there.
Retired, and they live like. Do any of them move out of Canada?
When you retire from teaching in Canada, you move usually.
Oh, yeah, okay. You got to get out of the country.
You have to leave.
It's a socialist country, okay?
If you're not working,
you're not providing.
Get the fuck out. That's my bad. That's my bad. That's that capitalist in me.
Yeah.
In high school, I did more stuff. I was in jazz band for a little bit. Just because, like, a different thing to do, and I really didn't like concert band.
Do your parents have, like, home video footage?
There is, of those, like, concerts? Video of me performing at things. Definitely, yeah.
Oh, I gotta see
I
it.
Have to dig some of that up. Yeah.
Did you have, like, a 5 o'clock shadow at that point?
No. No, it was really weird.
I just imagine Adam's facial hair has never been cut. It's just taking a really long time.
It's a really long time. And then I did 1 year of marching band at UNT, actually, which was... is still in hindsight kind of a weird thing because I wasn't going to be a music major and I'm doing marching band with people who don't want to be there, but they have to be there because they're going to be music education majors.
Yep.
You're like, hey guys. And I'm like, fuck you, Adam.
I'm like, I like marching band. I'm here. And they're like, go do DCI. And I'm like, I can't. I play saxophone.
What's DCI?
Drum corps.
Oh, okay.
Professional marching band, basically.
So what was it about concert band that you did not like?
I think the music we usually played was just too long and boring.
Okay.
Because some of it's like you're playing to the level of like the kids. Like in middle school, you're not going to like any of the music.
Sure.
It's easy music for kids in middle school to learn, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're in the good band. Maybe that's part of it. I was in the bad band, so they weren't going to give us anything challenging.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure of that. One of my students is in one of the good bands in middle school, and they are playing a song called Beginner's Rock. I'm like, okay.
I think that's just the reality of like people are learning, so you can't give them hard stuff.
Right, yeah.
There definitely were... things that were more appealing to want to play in the high school bands for the concert bands, like later on.
Yeah.
But I just wasn't good enough or care enough to actually like make it into there. And I was like, it's fine. I'm cool with hating concert band and doing jazz band and liking marching band. Like,
yeah,
2 out of 3 over the whole year, I'm good.
Dude, my concert band, we actually did like medleys from like, we did like a Lion King medley.
Better.
We did a Chicago medley.
That's the cool stuff. Yeah.
Wait a second.
Yes.
Which I think it was the musical.
Chicago is a musical. Yeah. Also a place.
Okay. Yeah. It's got a
bean.
Did you
do the place?
There's
the
a bean in there. No.
You're playing their like city theme song.
Yeah. It probably was.
That's
I think we also did.
But doing like a medley of like multiple pieces.
Nothing
like out overstays its welcome.
And I think that's how they kind of justified having a bass player. Like having me.
Sure. Because
it was like, oh, we have a bass player.
Could do contemporary stuff.
Yeah, we could do more contemporary stuff.
Yeah, and I think doing more classical stuff was like, at the time, lost on me.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas like marching band is generally not classical music. It's more contemporary stuff.
Yeah, it's like,
and
it's a lot of times.
Jazz felt cool in high school.
Yeah. A lot of times the contemporary. A lot of times the stuff that marching bands would do would even be like arranged by like not maybe the band director or like maybe like their friends from college, right? Like it's all very like actually being made right there in front of you.
Well, and it's made for that, so it's unique and it's usually pretty energetic.
Yeah.
And it's not long because you have like 8-9 minutes on the field.
You gotta get in and out.
And there's 4 parts of that usually. So.
Right.
Man,
right.
Marching band in Texas is intense.
Yeah. Yeah. So
or maybe that's just America.
No.
It's specifically Texas. America, yes, but Texas specifically is like a whole next level.
I think there's a really big thing that I kind of want to like, talk about as far as music education goes. And that is something that is, I think lost on a number of people, which is, this idea of music being a competition,
and I
for one think that like competition can be a good thing no matter how you like not no matter how but like competition can be a good thing in certain contexts, but music as a competition is a little bit like we're missing the point. But in Texas, music is a fucking competition.
Yeah.
It is, especially
marching band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my God, dude. Well,
like there is for even like individual, like making all state, whatever, for, band, orchestra, choir. But
so
it's also a thing for concert season, too. You still go compete.
Yeah. And
if
that's,
you're in a band that's any good, I was not. We went to the minimum, like required, go to the regional thing and then get our ones and then don't go anywhere.
And that's part of it that like I find to be really interesting. So like, as far as like the journey of how we got to our places, like I found myself singing for a long time. I was in musical theater in middle school. I was in choir. I was in outside choirs. I was doing whatever I could, right, as far as singing went. And I took cello lessons when I was in fifth grade or something.
What?
And yeah. I didn't want to use a bow. I refused. I was like, I'm not doing this.
I get that.
Yeah.
I totally understand that.
Fucking hated it. But that was only for 1 year. It was only because the teacher left. So I just was like, cool, we're not doing it anymore. But then...
Like the whole orchestra is just gone?
There were two kids.
Okay.
It was me and one of them. I've told you how small my school was.
That's right.
Yeah. Graduating class was 22 people.
I thought you were just saying like, you know, it was like a small orchestra, but like the teacher left and it's like, all right, well, I guess we're not doing that anymore. Like
two kids were in the class.
That's insane.
So during that I was still singing, whatever. As soon as I could get into whatever place to sing, I would go do that. And I never took voice. I didn't take voice lessons until I got to high school, but we're getting put in competitions. We're getting put in sight reading competitions.
You're getting ranked into different choirs, I assume, is how that works.
Not at my school, but at other schools, yes. But you would later on we kind of had that. We had the main choir, and then we had to do like competitive singing. We did just make it a smaller choir.
Yeah, just the good people.
Yeah. But we had like our own like private school arts like meeting that we would all go compete in. We also did UIL. We did all that stuff. And I'm very curious if you guys would feel like that would encourage you or discourage you. I think
that's why I liked marching band.
It encouraged you to be better?
Yeah, to be better and also to care more.
Sure.
And like my freshman year, we were really good. We almost made state. We missed it by, I think, two spots.
Okay.
It was all downhill from there with the new director, who is awful.
Yeah.
But I was still like very competitive about it. And like, I know we can be good. Like, you guys stop fucking around and like that kind of thing. But
I would have ruined it for me.
Yeah.
100%.
It makes sense why it would ruin it. I think that's part of why like concert band didn't appeal to me as much, is because we were doing like kind of competitive, but not really. And it's like a weird in between of like, we're not doing it competitively because we're not very good, but also like we're playing stuff that you don't want to play and listen to anyway.
Yeah.
So you have like the worst of both of those.
I'm very lucky in that part of the other influence that was happening to me at the time that I started playing bass was my neighbors had a cover band and they would rehearse there. And so I would go over and hang out with my neighbor and we would be hearing them rehearsing. And I'd be like, I just want to get good enough to do that.
I mean,
that's kind of competitive at that point.
Well, maybe.
A different kind of thing. But
I mean, I think there was like maybe five bass players in town.
Well, I just mean it's like something for you to compare yourself against and be like, I could do that.
But that's just me getting to a point.
Yeah.
Like not trying to beat anybody out of a spot.
I think there is like, and we can get to this too when we get to the higher points of like music education, but I think there is like a level of it where it's like, it just is competition. There's just whether or not you are knowingly or willingly competing in said competition, you are a part of the competition.
Oh, dude.
And there is not that there isn't like a score. There's just a yes or no. That's it. Right. But so I found that like this is something that I feel very passionately about now, but at the time I was like, we were spending so long prepping on like sight reading. Mm-hmm. We would spend weeks on just like, cool, here's this piece, let's go over solfege, and that's all we're doing. And I'm like, but don't we have a concert? Or don't we also have to sing this other stuff during the competition? And then we would spend weeks and weeks and weeks on those little tiny things. And that is cool on the idea of like the little pieces of it and trying to perfect that, but it was just to get a fucking score.
Yeah.
That's all it was for.
Yeah, my high school band did go to competitions like that because there were other high school bands in all the other high schools. But I remember not giving a flying shit about those concerts and just being like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I know my parts. I'm just happy to hang out with all my friends.
Wow.
I didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And if we did well or didn't do well, I don't remember because I had no stock in that. I was like, it doesn't matter to me.
I mean, for me, for concert season stuff, that's exactly how it was. I couldn't tell you what we scored any of the 4 years in high school. Have no idea.
For all I know,
we never made it. We never even got like good UIL scores. I don't remember.
The only thing that I remember is that I made it to All Region and All State, and I was really happy about it. And when I got there, I was like, "Why am I happy about this?"
Look at all these other people.
I was like, "Why?"
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Look at all these other people. But then I was also like, "I don't really like. What is this doing for me?" And what it did for me was I could put on an application to UNT that I got into All State.
Oh yeah.
That's what it could do for me.
That makes okay.
College wasn't even on my radar.
Well, it wasn't on my radar either,
yeah.
but it was like whenever the application time came, it was like, oh, well,
I guess that's what that's for, though. Yeah,
I did do this, so that works. Whereas your UIL stuff doesn't really apply to that. Like, they'll see that you were in those choirs, maybe scored well, but right. That doesn't go in your application. It goes unless in your application is other stuff.
Yeah, and unless you're in, like, a program where it's, like, the top, you know, concert symphony program in the state of Texas, like, they're not going to care.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That would just be like, oh, you went to that school. Okay, you're good.
It's yeah. The opposite for jazz, because I'm sure if you're, like, I was in all region, blah, 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 and, like, all this stuff, like, some jazz schools might be like,
we don't want you.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
So the competition aspect is another thing, but then the other side of it is one-on-one lessons. That's also, like, the classroom setting is its own thing, but I think one-on-one lessons is a really, really big, like, kind of, you can have such a wide variety of how that works. Whereas in the classroom, especially in Texas, the focus is so on either your end of like, you know, season, like, you know, your winter performance or your spring performance, and then on competition. Those are your two focuses pretty much. But like in one-on-one lessons, that's where you kind of, I feel like you have a much better chance of finding your own kind of way of practicing, of learning, of appreciating that whole side of things. So Adam, you said that you had like one-on-one lessons in middle school. Do you remember anything that you went over in those lessons?
Not
long tones.
Not anything specific, really. A lot of his stuff was more about like, why you should care to try a little bit. Like,
okay.
In my case, of like being like, I don't.
As an educator, I do a lot of that.
Yeah. Like, just because like trying to explain.
Little Adam,
like,
comes in and just shrugs at you. Yeah. Like, you should give.
Did
a
you
shit.
Practice? Yeah.
Some of it, I think, was informed by, I can't remember his name now, but he was like, I was the same kid in like middle school, and he's like, I didn't want to be there. It was like, I'm doing the thing my parents told me to do. I want to go and like hang out in the back and skateboard or whatever.
Sure.
And fuck
like,
yeah, dude.
And then he's like, and then I got to high school and I just wanted to do drugs and was telling me all this is middle school. And I'm like, okay. But he was just like, and then it like kind of hit me one day. I want to like teach people how to appreciate music and like find the stuff you want to do. So he's like, if we're going to like go through stuff that you have to do for your, you know, dumb middle school concert band, and we're going to have to do that because that's part of the deal. Like, but if there's stuff you just want to play, then like, just tell me and we'll do it.
That's cool.
So yeah. That was cool. That is that's cool. Like, that's not a thing you would get necessarily with like normal, like band stuff in middle schools.
So I would say that your first official lesson was with Ian. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, he said in response to me saying that in the chat, he said, I threw you in the deep, right in the deep end, but it definitely made you a better player.
I mean, that's a valid way to do it.
They call you old.
But here's the thing. But here's the thing is that to me, that's the equivalent of like, you know, dads going, just throw him in the deep end.
Yeah.
Literally throw your kid in the deep end. They'll learn to swim or sure. They'll die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think while I think that, yeah, that it worked. I'm better for it. You're right. But I would never tell someone that. I would never teach someone that way.
Yeah. But I you know what?
Because I'm very liberal. I'm so fucking liberal when it comes to music and teaching and stuff like that. I'm just like, how can I help you?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What do you love about flowers?
I can see there are like certain students though where that might be just like the way you have to do it.
Oh sure. Yeah. You learn how someone learns.
Yeah.
And then you teach them.
So that way. That being like your whatever unofficial first lesson, uh-huh. Right? Is playing with your brother. But then your first one-on-one lesson was in college.
That was yeah. So my first actual like full-on lesson, yes.
So I know how badly you worked to get into college, right?
Yeah.
You worked very, very hard to get into music school, right?
Yes.
Was one-on-one lessons like you got there and you're like, this is the fucking shit? Or you were like, I disagree with you and like, what is this?
It was that.
And
honestly,
that's
after...
Very on-brand.
Yeah. Not to get too deep into college just yet, because I'll tell that whole story.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But essentially my undergrad-based teacher... Rest in peace. He drank himself to death. He was still to this day, one of the best bass players I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
Couldn't teach to save his life.
Interesting.
Literally would say to me, I'd be like, hey, I need help with this. And he would go, yeah, here, you grab my upright and he would just play it and go, you know what I mean? And so I'm like, are you my fucking brother?
You got Ian again.
Yeah. But in the jazz form.
Okay, I see.
And I would go, yeah, so you're doing this kind of thing and this kind of thing. And he would go, yeah. And he'd go, you got it.
Right.
And he always said to me, like, I don't need to worry about you. And I now, in hindsight, wish I would have said, well, I wish you would, man, because like I'm paying for this.
Jeez. Yeah, that's that is certainly an approach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found that, so I didn't take voice lessons until I was in high school. And I started, you know, it was a thing where the voice teacher or the choir teacher we had, who was also doing musical theater, was basically like, hey, I'm going to be offering one-on-one lessons now. It's going to be outside of like school, but we'll do it in school, just after hours. I want to do it for, you know, these people who I think are, you know, have promise. He offered it to everybody, but he especially was like, these are the people that I think should come and do it. Right.
Yeah.
So, I went and did it a little bit, like, not reluctantly. I was just terrified.
Yeah.
The amount...
It's scary. If you care about it.
Well, it's scary, and then... So,
it's also scary because you can't hide behind anybody. Like, if I was bad in concert band in middle school, I could just, like, pretend to play and not actually play. And then I go to the lesson, and he's like, do that thing that you're supposed to be doing, and you already know how to do. And I'm like... I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Well, and every instrument is very, like it makes you feel like you're, you know, it's just, when you're playing it by yourself, you're very nude, right?
Yeah.
But the voice is very much like, this is you. This
it's
is
literally your body.
You are like trying to put, I don't know, you're doing, it's you. You're the whole thing. So I found walking into those voice lessons, I was like, I am terribly nervous. I'm anxious about the process. And very quickly, I was like, oh, my God, I'm doing so much wrong. I started to learn more. And then I all started to, like, really doubt myself because then all my other peers who were doing it. And this is the competition thing that I'm talking about where, like, all of my best friends who are also taking voice lessons, we all go to school together. I'm seeing them come out of their – I'm waiting for my voice lesson. I hear them. And then I go into mine. I'm like, they sounded like that's what they're doing?
Yeah.
And I'm doing this.
Yeah, I get that.
And it was just like, it was a really hard, like it was an amazing experience to learn that way. But then also just like witness everyone around me, you know, getting this other side of it. Right. Which is the other side of the competition. It's not like the scores. It's the, well, I want to do better than them. Right. I want to do better than that person. Like they sound like that. Why can't I sound like that? And now I'm like beating myself up. And now it's this whole loop. Here's the other side about voice lessons, which is really annoying, right? So you said that your bass teacher like grabbed your bass and did whatever, right?
Yeah.
Before you can't really do that with a singer.
No, it's like, yeah, let me see.
Yeah.
You're like, bah!
So there is a whole like there's a whole world of like vocal education that is all based on like I'm gonna basically come over here and touch your stomach while you're doing things. And like, you know, there's a thing that my voice teacher did when I was trying to learn how to breathe correctly where they made me lay on the ground. I was like singing scales and they put their foot on my stomach. And if their foot didn't go up and down, we restarted the whole thing again.
Wow.
And it was like just to make sure that I got that breath 100%.
Yeah.
And it was just like the most like stressful, nerve-wracking thing in the entire world. And then I would just go home and play drums, which I never took lessons for, and and just beat all of that anxiety away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find that like once you reach one-on-one lessons, there's like a point where you kind of be like, I'm moving to that next stage. But it also could be that thing that breaks you into like, why am I fucking doing this?
Yeah.
Which is even more like to the point of like you reach the point where you're doing one-on-one lessons, the guy's doing it for you and you didn't give up, which shows more resolve and more interest into the whole process.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's why I was lucky because now I'm trying to think about like how I would have, what resources I had back then. And I think like I remember going to my local library and trying to find books on bass.
Right.
And I'm 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in the library reading books on how to play the bass.
Yeah.
Because you can't, like, you could, there were search engines, but certainly not for, like, tabs or anything like that.
Yeah, no.
Well, you weren't going to find, like, videos explaining
it. No, exactly.
Which is a really foreign concept to explain to anybody who's grown up with YouTube.
Yeah. And I remember getting, you know, my brother would have guitar magazines and stuff like that. But I also remember finding, like, bass magazines and... You know, just anything I could to get my hands on stuff, and I would just stay in and practice.
Yeah.
And I still to this day don't know where I got that from. It's so weird to me.
Yeah. Well, that's like the, you know, being a not really happy about it, but I am a theater kid. Like when we all hung out, it was sitting around a piano and everyone singing together.
Right.
And it was like, it was almost like when we have talked about, like, you know, sometimes with like jazz stuff, it's like, okay, you pick the song and there's that whole, that whole process. It's kind of like that, where we're all like kind of sitting around, one of our friends play piano and it was like, let's all sing this song. And if you got the harmony wrong afterwards, it was like, I can't believe you got that wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're just hanging out. I'm 16. I hate this. I'm going to go sit in the corner. This is horrible. None of this is making me want to do this, but I keep doing it.
Yeah.
But I keep coming back to this fucking thing because I just want to get better at it.
Yeah, but then, you know, people who were in our lives at that point, I imagine them asking like, hey, so whatever happened to Hagen? And they're like, oh, he's a musician. They probably go like, oh, that checks out.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Right? Yeah. But not for you, Adam.
Right. Well, to be fair, though, people would be like, yeah, he didn't go do music.
Right.
And that's not a surprise. And it's like, there is a weird aspect of like, I liked marching band enough. At one point, I considered being a band director to do marching band because I just liked it.
Yeah, wow.
That didn't happen, obviously. So, but it's one of those like things where like maybe that wouldn't have surprised people. But being a musician, you know, is important to being a band director for one. So I was like, I guess I probably can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
probably not the best candidate.
That was my next question, was like, what was the kind of thing that potentially like pushed you over the edge to be like, I'm done here? Was it just like taking it to the next step was like, this doesn't seem very fun?
I think I didn't ever like assume it would be a career. It was kind of like, you've been public school in Texas, especially, you do music or you do theater or you do choir.
Or you do sports.
Right. And I was like, I'm not doing sports. I'll do one of the artsy things. I didn't want to do theater. I did music. And so that's what I did in high school. I did kind of like do the 1 year thing at UNT, which was like, maybe I do want to do this.
Right.
Because I don't know.
Just to try it out.
Right.
Because when I went into UNT, I was a film major originally.
Right.
And
RTVF.
Did marching band. And I was like, I don't know, maybe one of those things will be what I want to do. And then I changed degrees, didn't do marching band again because I got a job. And then,
yeah,
you know, might have done it for another like year or two. But then I think after that first year, I was like, yeah, I don't want to do music education. These people seem miserable.
We are.
Yeah. So that's you getting into college being like, this is
pretty much. Yeah. Being like, trying it like kind of on a real, like, oh, this would be what it would be like if you're an adult doing this kind of thing. And it was like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
So where I want to leave us today is Dave and I's college, getting into college journey, because that will lead us into what this is all also about, which is that in a amount of time, we are going to all watch Whiplash on the Patreon.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is all about college jazz education. Okay. I'm going to tell my story because it's way less interesting first, which is that I went to UNT for a semester. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then I decided music. And then I went back to my voice teacher and I was like, I want to do this. He went to UNT for his master's. So he like helped me get super prepped. I auditioned and my audition was scheduled for one of like the snow days. And so I actually couldn't go to the audition, which was truly incredible because I was terrified.
Right.
I was terrified of walking into that room. One of my least favorite things about doing auditions is you walk up to the accompanist and you hand them a sheet of music and you go, here are the little things I'm doing. And go.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know this person.
Right.
Like, I hated that. So,
and the accompanists are likely sight reading.
Yeah, they're sight reading everything, right?
You walk in and you hand them, I mean, band solo stuff.
Yes, same thing. Like, yeah.
There's going to be somebody in there to like play something for you. And you're like, what do you mean play something for me?
Yeah. And that's what you have notes in your music. You hand it to them and you say, hey, we're going to skip this part and jump to this part. And you fucking fingers crossed that they got that, which they do, but it's like a whole nother layer of the nerves.
As a kid or somebody who hasn't done this for real, you're just like, I don't understand how that works.
I had done auditions for local theater and stuff. And it freaked me out. And especially for college, I was like, this is horrible. I'm coming in for classical music. I'm singing arias, right? So anyway, so I did, I got to send in my audition.
Sorry.
Go
ahead.
Okay, well, so I had to send in my audition, and it is on YouTube. Then I got in, and then from there, it was just kind of like a, that was a throw me in the deep end. That was a throw me in the deep end and see what I did.
Yeah.
So,
me and two of my other friends went and auditioned at my undergrad on my birthday. My mom drove us. It was like a 2.5 or 3 hour drive. And we went and auditioned at this jazz school. And
Can I back you up? What made you decide that you wanted to go? Because you had from what we know from the formative songs and from this, you were learning riffs with your brother. What made you decide jazz?
Okay, so I was in a band with two of the friends, but my two friends that went with me to audition, we were in a band together, but I was also in another band with the drummer, and it was like a metal band, like prog.
Yeah.
We were doing Odd Time stuff. We were listening to, like, I think we had started listening to, like, Dave Brubeck and, you know, kind of like all the mainstream stuff we could get a hold of, mainstream jazz. And
that's a good qualifier, mainstream jazz.
Yeah. I mean, it's not you know, the deepest, most esoteric stuff.
Sure,
it's like Disney jazz.
Yeah.
Not really. That might piss people off, whatever. So we were listening to that stuff, and I just remember thinking, like, I'm not gonna be able to stay in this town and make a living playing music. I probably need education to do that. I had heard of some people that went to this school, so I'm at least gonna go try an audition. And then I went and auditioned and I didn't get in. I remember I was fucking terrified for my audition because part of it was I had to walk. A walking bass line is just playing quarter notes through chord changes. And they wanted me to improvise two choruses of blues walking bass line and F. And I didn't know how to do that, so I wrote it out and memorized it. Okay. And it wasn't a good bass line. I mean, it's supposed to be jazzy, but it was just like your typical, like, 1-3. This is super nerdy, but
it's
1-3-5-6-5-3-1.
Yeah.
It was that. Okay. It was like arpeggios.
Gotcha.
And then I played half of this song called Portrait of Tracy by Jaco Pastorius, which is like harmonics and, you know, not jazz.
Yeah.
I mean, it's jazz, but like it's not what they wanted to hear. And I don't remember what else I played. I think he asked me to sight read something, and I probably shit all over it.
Sure.
So I didn't get in.
Okay. Okay. So then so then what happened?
This could take like an hour.
make it take less than an
hour. by the drummer that went with us, he did get in. The guitar player didn't, and the guitar player was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do music. Like, that was the nail in the coffin for him. And then I was like, okay, well, I got accepted to the school, but not for music, but for like just general arts. And so I was like, I'm going to go to the school. I'm going to live in a dorm, and I'm not going to do anything college related. I'm just going to go to class, and I'm going to practice. I'm going to hang out in the music building. I'm going to bother the shit out of all the music students that are in fourth year and third year, and I'm going to pick their brains about stuff. I'm just always going to be in the practice building. And then at the end of the first year, or maybe, I can't remember now if it was the end of the first year or the end of the semester, I was even bothering the professors for like notes and how do I do all this stuff and, hey, what's something I can work on? And I used to sit outside the piano professor's room because he would practice late on Thursday nights, and I would listen to how he practiced, and then I would go and try and do that stuff. He had like a tape, and he was would play a part of a tape, like a piano solo, pause it. He would record himself playing it, and then play it back and see if he sounded like what he heard on the tape.
Jesus.
And so I started not doing exactly that, but I started recording myself and like trying to figure out how to get stuff to sound better. And at the end of the semester, I put my name on the sheet for the juries because I had got a copy of one of the actual bass players' jury, and I studied everything they had to do. And I went in and I was like, put my name on the list. And they're like, you're not in the program. I was like, just let me do it. Just let me do the exam. I know some of these guys are not taking this seriously, and I'm not even in the program. So let me do it, and if, you know, just see what happens.
Yeah.
So they let me do it, and I think some of the guys, I don't know if they got bumped out and I got in, or if they decided not to stay within music.
And then you got in.
And then I got in.
And that's that. And that's that also.
That's
that
like straight out of a movie.
It's a fucking movie.
I know,
it's
right?
It's a movie.
Yeah.
And that's, again, that also, that almost like unspoken competition thing. You're like, these guys don't give a shit. I give a shit.
Well, it's, yeah. It wasn't like, I'm better than them. It was hey, I'm here busting my ass trying to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're taking it for granted.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I want what they have more than they want it. So I'm just going to see if I can get it.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Well, and just like the determination to like get better and to like dedicate yourself to doing that. Like, I think that's everybody has something like that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That was definitely a time.
That's when you realize like, is it the thing that I picked or is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't taking no for an answer. And I didn't party at all. I hung out with only people that hung out in the practice buildings. I didn't go to parties, yeah. And I was constantly practicing.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, again, straight out of a movie, but also just like you hear that and it's like, that's how you actually learn. That's how you put, yeah. you put yourself in that situation. I think one of the things that kills me about music education in the school system is that they have no intention of showing you how to practice.
Zero.
They have no intention of having you like learn something outside of here's this repertoire that again we're gonna do for these competitions or we're gonna do for these two performances at the end of each like you know season.
Yeah.
That's it. They don't give a shit about like how to practice. Just practice. Mm-hmm. You didn't practice? What the fuck? Like,
yeah. I don't know how to practice.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dude, that's why as an instructor now.
Yeah.
Part of the biggest part of my teaching is teaching people how to practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like maybe that's why marching band worked for me was that we did have like marching staff who were like teaching us how to practice A, marching, but B, playing the marching music.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the point where it was like, oh, I understand like how I'm supposed to do this now.
Right.
So that's like, yeah, the whole middle school is like, private lessons teacher did his best, but like wasn't the most effective with me, maybe wasn't. They weren't all great with everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
But then that like finally clicked at that point because that's what you have to do is teach people how to work on things themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's and like, you know, like you said, Adam, like you find that everybody has that thing where they find that passion for and they just like can't like put down. But it's really hard for like if you're like a middle schooler or a high schooler, even if you have that passion or you love this thing so much, if the whole system is telling you the work you need to be doing is for what I need you to do.
Right.
Fuck what you want to do.
Meaningless stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes it tough.
Nobody remembers what music they played in their middle school and high school competition stuff.
Yeah. You
probably don't even remember what you played in like concert season.
The only stuff that I remember from that stuff was the stuff that school has done every year. Like
it's all the same stuff.
Yeah. There's traditional stuff, and that's it. That's
I even know that about your school.
You know one of them. Yeah. Oh, you know two of them.
Yeah, I know two of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, there's like, you know, for the holiday season, there's one thing I always know that we do, and if I were to show up and be at the holiday concert at my old school, I could go up and do the dance with them. Like, that's ingrained in me.
God, but
like,
that's such a funny visual.
Other shit. Yeah, I know, right? All the other shit is not, it's like, it's not sticking with me, right?
Right.
And that's kind of my issue. And I think that all of this will kind of come to a head when we watch Whiplash is not only like kind of just the story and the feeling about music education within college, but also the competition nature of it and how it, and like the drive is a really big thing, right? Then how we... Chris Biddy in the chat. Let's go, everybody. Come on. The drive for like getting better is something that like this movie has a great line of like, we're gonna focus on the drive to get better, like what you went through, Dave, but also the competition nature of this is the most important thing to get this exact thing correct.
Yeah. So, I think that's why I haven't seen that movie yet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah,
it makes sense. That's
not surprising.
I'm super excited for us to watch that on Patreon because it's like it's such a like I personally like the movie a whole
lot.
It's
a great movie.
But from everyone who doesn't like it, perspective, I for the most part I get it. For the people who are like, that's not how jazz school works, I'm like, it's a movie.
You missed the point. It's a movie.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
Yeah.
I should clarify. It's a very well made movie.
Yeah.
Right.
And I like the movie too, but I can understand why people don't. But it'd be weird if anybody's like, that was a poorly made movie. You're like, no, you missed everything. Yeah, yeah. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, we'll see how that goes.
We'll see. Yeah. Well, I'm very much looking forward to watching that. It'll be sometime this month. Very likely we'll watch that on Patreon. So if you're not on our Patreon, go join
this
that
month.
Shit.
You mean May?
May. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. The live stream sees it this way, but, so yes, Crispity in the chat. I wanted to tell you guys, I recently got my album reviewed by a family friend who's friends with a famous singer by the name of Maggie Miles. I am going to try to see what she thinks of the album. That's awesome.
Awesome.
Very cool. Congratulations. Let's give it up one time, everybody. Let's give it up. There it is. Woo! Fuck yeah.
That goes on way too long, though.
I turned it off.
Yeah, yeah.
So with that being said, like I said, come join the Patreon. We've got other stuff we'll be doing this month as well. But, you know, be ready for that. And you also get your merch if you join whatever. Anyway, let's talk about what we're listening to. What do you guys got?
So Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross had a new score they did. that y'all probably heard about.
Yeah.
No surprise I listened to it.
Yeah, yeah. But did you see the movie?
I didn't see the movie yet.
Okay.
It's called Challengers. Yeah. Great score. Probably their second best thing since The Social Network, probably, which was their first one.
Okay.
Damn.
Watchmen might knock it out for two, but that's different because it's TV.
Sure.
This is 40 minutes, like, feels completely new, just like The Social Network did.
Cool.
Really great. So if you like their stuff, go listen to it.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go see the movie at some point. So.
That's awesome.
For me, it's the new St. Vincent record, All Born Screaming. It's really good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, nice. It's really good.
Like, I was ready for it to grow, or I was so ready.
No, dude, I can't tell you how refreshing it's been just to listen to a record and go, I love this. This is great.
I listened to a lot of stuff this weekend. I listened to that English Teacher record, This Could Be Texas. I listened to Microwave, Let's Start Degeneracy. I listened to quite a few things. The thing that stuck with me, we actually didn't listen to it on Fun Friday. I have a bit of a story time. I'll never actually know how to say this band's name. It's Havdi, but I think it's Howdy. It's like the two V's thing. So the people in that band are from the DFW.
Mm-hmm.
They are Nashville guys now. When I was in high school, I knew those guys in the band they were in, and I fucking hated them because everyone liked their band, and I was like, fuck, we write heavy shit. Why the fuck is everyone, whatever? Anyway, looking back on it now, I probably would, realize that they were actually, writing good shit at that age. But at the time, I was like, fuck these guys.
Right.
And I think that's just been ingrained in me a little bit because they've been releasing shit and doing really well for themselves for a long time now as this band. They released this record, which is a self-titled that Pitchfork put on a best new album. And one of the people who's like associate, he produced the record and he was friends with them. He actually made my old band's first EP, and he posted about it. And he was like, it's crazy that when we were younger, we were like, always looking at best new album on Pitchfork. And now an album that I worked on is on best new album on Pitchfork. So I was like, oh, cool. Well, I guess I'll listen to it because like, if the guy that I liked who was a part of that group feels really passionate about it and it did really, I'm going to listen to it. I think it's great.
That's awesome.
I fucking egg on my face. It's incredible. they don't know who I am, so if for some reason this clip makes it ever to them, they won't remember me. But I think it's,
you never know.
I think it's 19 songs, but a number of them are like 30-second interludes that either finish out the previous song or start the next song.
Cool. Okay.
It's really great melodies, super duper chill while still having like good groove stuff. Great album. I like it a lot.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anybody got anything else?
No.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for watching. For all who are watching the live stream, thanks for coming and watching on a Tuesday with us, because we're not available on our normal Wednesday time because we'll be seeing the Foo Fighters in the rain. I'm very
excited.
We got
ponchos.
Yeah. So it'll be great, but we are doing we're here on Tuesday. We appreciate you guys being here with us. If you are watching right now, if you're listening right now, and you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, you haven't followed on your podcast app you're listening to, please go do those things right now. If you're listening right now on the audio, just open up YouTube. Don't Feed the Artist. Press that subscribe button. Helps us out a ton. If you're on social media, DFTA Podcast on Instagram, Don't Be the Artist on TikTok, go drop a follow on those as well. If you have any topic ideas, thoughts about the show, deep dives you want to hear us do, anything at all, please send us an email at feedback@don'tfeedtheartist.com or drop us a DM or a comment on any one of those previously mentioned social medias. Ian says, no way.
Probably the Foo Fighters.
Oh.
Be my guess.
Oh, okay. I was like, is he telling me no way he's gonna do this? He already did it. It's too late. anyway, thank you guys so much for being here. We appreciate you so much. I think that's it.
Fuck off! Get rid of the towel!
And also, it's Patreon. Go subscribe. Like I said, go Patreon. Yay!
Yay!
And we have fun Fridays. All right, bye.